We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, as we've seen over the years, Kansas and Missouri can't seemingly get along on anything, and I mean anything, even the greatest holiday of the year, Thanksgiving. Back in the 1800s, there was debate on when Thanksgiving actually fell, and it carried well into the 1900s. In fact, it fell one year, and Kansas and Missouri couldn't agree on the date of it, and that ultimately ended up affecting the KUMU football game. Diane Houston and I sit down and discuss how Thanksgiving was even a divisive issue right here in KC. Well, if you and I have gone on this journey, I think the one thing each month that we're finding out to be, I guess you could say, common is that Kansas and Missouri can't get along on anything. I mean,
ever.
On anything, no matter what it is. And even at this glorious time of year, my favorite holiday of the year, nothing is better than Thanksgiving. Shockingly, Kansas and Missouri, or better yet, the Confederates and the North, can't find a way to even get along on the date of the first Thanksgiving and how to celebrate this holiday. Why does everything in this part of the country have to be so damn difficult, Diane?
I don't know. I find it interesting that, you know, there is a rivalry that occurs around Thanksgiving, which we, you know, we're going to kind of go back in time a little bit before this rivalry, but about how, you know, the way that things were perceived, definitely because of the Civil War, you know, it's like they couldn't even agree, I think, just purposely to disagree. You know, it's like they couldn't, you're going to keep fighting. We might as well fight over a date to eat some turkey.
Well, it was almost like Jefferson Davis looked at Abe Lincoln and said, all right, son, you scheduled Thanksgiving for the fourth Thursday of the month. We're going with the third Thursday of the month just to difficult and try to beat you to the punch, huh?
Well, yeah. And I think that, you know, it's kind of an interesting history if we go back a little bit here, because Thanksgiving is one of those that I was kind of oblivious to. So when I decided to write about this last year, I thought, you know, the holiday, like, it is kind of weird. It's on a Thursday. I mean,
sure.
Right?
Well, get you the Friday off. Nice long weekend for everybody, you know?
That's true. That's true. I just think it's one of those strange things, because it's not, you know, it's not like February 14th is always Valentine's Day or December 31st is always New Year's Eve, obviously. But like Thanksgiving does move around the calendar, which confuses people. And it's not because of the way that we even had calendars. But, you know, the first Thanksgiving, they say, is around 1621, like, give or take. It's all men. There's no women there. So, you know,
no women invited to Thanksgiving?
No women.
Well, who did the cooking then?
Oh, that's a good point. Well, I think they did it on the spit, right?
Yeah, like just like the men do today, right?
There was no turkey there.
I kid.
I know. Yeah, there's no pie either. A little bit different. But they used to have autumn harvest all the time. So this idea of this, like an autumn harvest, had already been around. So it's really hard to even date when Thanksgiving began. Virginia claims it. Texas claims it.
Where does Texas get off claiming the first Thanksgiving?
For real. I have no idea. Probably the Spaniards or something.
But Texas, like, wasn't even a thought of the imagination in 1620 or 1621.
Exactly. And I think that has to do with, of course, the way that the settlements happen. Who knows why Texas? I think Texas just likes to claim anything.
They do.
Because they're the Lone Stars. Mm-hmm. You know, they're always on their own. Florida, Maine, they all claim the first Thanksgiving. So it's real hard to know. But, you know, the first official Thanksgiving in our country was, appropriately so, George Washington, and it was because of a healing of a war, of course, the American Revolution, and he wanted a day of public Thanksgiving and prayer. So he declares Thursday, November 26, 1789, to pay homage and heal from the Revolutionary War, which makes sense to me. It was more about prayer and probably forgiveness than it was about food. I don't know. I'm not real sure. I mean, I'd love to even look into this more, because there has to be more to this, because now it's like, get together and eat some food. And
right.
I mean, nobody's going to church.
Nobody even thinks about church. No, Thanksgiving is one of the least secular holidays, or the only non-secular holiday. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's family. It's about, it's that family
tradition.
Well,
it just kind of depends on where you are with the family. Sometimes it's good to have them there. Sometimes maybe not so good.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. You're really a big fan of Thanksgiving. You know, it's never been my thing.
Really?
Yeah,
I love it. It's the best holiday of the year. You eat, you watch football, you drink. I mean, what more could you possibly want from an American holiday? Christmas is not my jam. am.
Really?
New Year's I can't stand.
What?
Thanksgiving for me is the way to go. I think it's the best holiday of the year. It was always the best holiday of the year for me growing up. That's when we always had the most people over. I didn't have much of a family, like close family growing up. So it was all friends and relatives. And my mother always did it up really big. And I just always loved Thanksgiving. It was always one of those holidays for me that was always my favorite.
I think that was, you know, for me, it's a little different because my parents were divorced, you know, when I was early. So, it was, you know, when I was 8 years old, so it was always like two Thanksgivings and two of everything and all of that, which, I mean, who can eat Thanksgiving
twice? You can't eat two
twice?
Thanksgiving dinners.
My brother's
yeah.
been doing it for years. I don't know how he does it, but, but regardless, I mean, I do like the idea of getting together, but to think it used to be like this religious observance kind of threw me off, but I guess it does make sense. You know, healing from the Revolutionary War, and it's not really a big surprise. I mean, I wasn't too surprised. 75 years later, I mean, it took 75 years was the actual next time that they claimed a national Thanksgiving. So we had a big, you know, big time span where there wasn't really much going on. But what was that all about? The Civil War. So, of course, I mean, here we go again, needing a time to heal and a time for people to get together, probably a time for some of these servicemen that were out, the you know, these troops to get back home to their families. In 1857, I thought this was interesting. The Missouri governor decided to propose New Year's Eve was Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, that guy's an idiot.
Well, Missouri doesn't always do stuff right. I mean, we kind of screw stuff up, too.
A lot,
I mean,
yes. I mean, Kansas. But why would you want to dominate New Year's Eve and Thanksgiving on the same day? I mean,
how big of a New Year's Eve would it have been back in the day? I mean, you could, like, you know, check your pocket watch and count down. I'm not real sure there was much going on back then.
Right,
you know?
Maybe not.
Yeah, there's no balloon drop, you know. In any case, you know, so these individual states were deciding on their own day of Thanksgiving. So there was this national Thanksgiving, and it was after Gettysburg. So we're in the middle of the Civil War. In 1863, Lincoln decides he's going to observe, you know, the last Thursday in November, kind of probably after, I'm sure it had to do with good old George Washington, as a day of Thanksgiving. And no surprise, as you said, Jefferson Davis had to get into the mix. He's got to mess some stuff up. So he's the president, of course, of the Confederacy. And he's like, oh, okay, you want to appoint the, you know, the last Thursday in November as the national day of Thanksgiving? Then we're going to do it on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So they do it on Wednesday. Like, who is this? So they called it the Rebel Thanksgiving. So I'm real curious. I just, you know, if I could go back into time, I would just wonder, during the border wars and all this stuff going on, the Civil War in Missouri, was Kansas legit, Kansas Territory, Kansas celebrating the day of Thanksgiving, like with Lincoln and everybody else on the other side of the state? I mean, I don't know. I think it's a big old hot mess, but not too surprising. It was kind of a hot mess back in those days.
Well, no doubt. And then we debate over it for a long time. And then 1939 happens. And 1939 is a big time cluster when it comes to Thanksgiving. And this is really where it starts to affect sports and get in the way of sports taking place. What happened in 1939 to finally give us this day of reckoning that we've all come to love by watching the Detroit Lions?
The Detroit Lions, yeah. And it was Mizzou Tigers, man, in the Jayhawks here in this area. But in 1939, of course, we got the Depression going on. So the economy is a hot mess. So, of course, there's a default date. It's supposed to be the fourth Thursday in November. And, I mean, that's what the default date was since 1863. I mean, after the war, everybody kind of did the fourth Thursday. It was never claimed as a national holiday, to be clear. I mean, the president can suggest that as a day of remembrance or a day of Thanksgiving, but it wasn't an order. So every governor had their, you know, control of what they were going to do.
Sure.
So it ended up landing on November 30th, and we all know what happens November 30th. I mean, can you imagine?
Well, Thanksgiving this year is about the 28th, I think.
Yeah, that's real late.
Real late.
Well, November 30th is worse.
Right, sure.
It couldn't get any worse. So what happens is November 30th falls late, and the economy is hurting. So the president decides, Roosevelt says, you know, we should move it up a week. So it'd be the third Thursday in November in 1939, because the economy, they needed those days of shopping, just like we do today, to recover before the end of the year. We needed the numbers to look good. So he makes a proclamation, says that we're going to celebrate the third Thursday, which will be November 23rd, 1939. That gives you more shopping days. But boy, did that screw some things up here because of a little rivalry you might know a little bit about.
Yeah, a little bit called the Kansas-Missouri rivalry. And that's where sports takes over, because games are scheduled decades in advance. I mean, there's games on the books for 2030. We're not even into the 2020s yet. So that's how far out in advance games are scheduled. I can imagine back in the 1930s, we're probably not scheduling games well out, you know, 20 years into the future.
Right.
But at least a year in advance, you kind of have your date set as to when you're going to pick up and play. play, and the Kansas-Missouri game was always the day of Thanksgiving, and it was always played on that day of Thanksgiving. Except all of a sudden now, for a game that's always been played on Thanksgiving, you essentially have a different Thanksgiving in Kansas and a different Thanksgiving in Missouri because they left it up to each state to decide. And shockingly, Kansas and Missouri can't decide on this what day to celebrate
of
Thanksgiving.
Of course they couldn't. And they did try to schedule things in advance. And that whole thing, and I think it's an interesting background on that whole KU-Mizzou rivalry, you know, kind of to circle back to, is that started in 1891 on Halloween, which is, yep, by the way, my favorite holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at Exposition Park in 15th and Montgomery. So they decided, that, you know, this is 26 years after the Civil War. They decide this is a great way for some healing and all of this. Of course, you know, I don't know if it really healed too much, but there are a lot of pictures, if you look online, of like ex-Confederate soldiers and ex-Union soldiers at these games shaking hands. So I think in some ways, you've got to remember these people were still alive.
Sure.
They fought in this war. So the first time that they played was at Exposition Park in Kansas City. And it was actually the first time KU ever wore red, too. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. They originally wore yellow and blue. So their first time they ever wore their uniforms of red and blue was, uh-huh, going to be against Mizzou. And Mizzou didn't even support that first game. I thought that was interesting. Could not believe. Like, so the teams just decided we're going to do this. And KU was totally cool with it. But MU, the school, was not in support of it at all, which was kind of interesting. They arrived the night before, and KU arrived the morning of Halloween, and about 200 fans and 30 ladies with them. So, mm-hmm, they brought the crew.
But they brought pretty ladies and ugly ladies as well,
yes,
according to the article.
It is shocking that they say that. And, of course, they also say that women didn't know anything. It said, to be sure, the women don't understand the game.
Right, which is crazy because you think of how football's expanded now and how many women are like diehards and maybe know more than a lot of men do about the sport.
I have a friend. My friend Jamie is an encyclopedia of knowledge of football specifically. She's incredible. My friend Kristen, who is actually a big, big supporter of Mizzou and went there, she knows a ton about football, never misses a game. It's hard for me to believe that they're like, we're going to tell them when to applaud, so don't worry. But the ladies had to be there in their pretty dresses. This is back when you dressed up for the occasion,
sure,
too. You know, nobody's looking, you know, nobody's wearing a sweatshirt. But 3,000 people showed up to this thing, and only about 300 were from Lawrence, so womp womp.
Yeah.
Did you know a touchdown was worth 4 points?
That's interesting. I did not know that, yeah.
A field goal, 5 points.
So you got more to kick a field goal than you did to score a touchdown.
I wonder how much they were throwing the ball back then.
Not a lot back then.
All.
I mean, the forward pass is fairly new. I mean, it wasn't like Mahomes' magic, you know, back in those days.
Conversion was actually still 2 points. But I will give you this. KU did win the first game. So there's that. But so it took a couple years after this first matchup. They loved the idea, but it took a while. They decided they thought it would be better to have on like that national holiday or on Thanksgiving. And, mm-hmm, so it took a couple years. In 1893, they did start playing, and it became the Turkey Day battles. And, you know, I will say that the first time that they played on Thanksgiving, Mizzou won 12-4. I love the scores.
12-4. Yeah, like great scores back then.
I know, but also so boring. Like,
probably
what are you doing?
So
boring.
A lot of good defense.
Yeah, or not.
Or just bad offenses.
Well, and think,
yeah,
about how horrible, and if you look back at these old pictures, how horrible, like, the padding was. These guys had, like, zero protection. I mean, got to be concussions right and left. But in any case, in 1937, they also started presenting the winner with an authentic Indian drum made by the Osage Indians.
Which is awesome.
Which is also so PC, you know. And did you know they found it in a closet? Nobody knew where it went. Like, so this trophy was passed back and forth for like years and years in the 1980s. So it like kind of goes out of fashion. In the 1980s, they like find it in the back of a closet in the basement of some building in Mizzou.
I remember opening a closet out at Arrowhead years and years ago, and there was the Governor's Cup trophy between St. Louis and Kansas. They all smashed to pieces. I gotta close that door, you know?
Oh, my God. Like, that never happened.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, so, I mean, it was just really interesting. So they started playing, and, you know, this rivalry on Turkey Day. It became known as the Turkey Day Battle. I kind of wish we did this still, but, of course, I kind of wish we still had that rivalry that we used to.
Right.
You know, and I'm a Mizzou fan, as you know, but, like, so in 1939, this whole Thanksgiving thing that happens where they're going to move the date up a week because they want to have more shopping days and blah, 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 ends up causing just a hot mess. Because, of course, as you said, they're going to leave it up to the governors to decide because it's not a proclamation. It's proclamation is only going to affect D.C. and your territory.
Sure.
So, you know, essentially, Kansas governor says, we're going to stick to the original date.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Missouri was like, we are not. We are going to move it because that's what they said to do. And so they didn't, they could, had to figure out how they're going to play. It's in the middle of the freaking week. It's a Thursday, and they're supposed to come to Kansas City to play. How is that even possible?
And one way or the other, it's going to screw up classes and events that are taking place on either side of the state line.
Right. So how in the world can you actually play this game when the class schedules are messed up? Because you want, of course, attendance is based on
back then, the student
Kansas
actually
City.
Mattered in the student athlete, right? Like, it actually mattered if you went to class
grades
back then,
counted.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No texting in class then. Yeah, so they didn't know what to do at first, and it was a pretty big deal, this whole national, I say, or big time Kansas City headline, big headline in Lawrence and of course in Columbia. What are we going to do? Like, we cannot let this happen. Like, this cannot pass. And at the time too, I think it's interesting, especially early on, they only had like 13 players on a team too. So it's like, you know, if one kid's like, I got to stay to class, I mean, like, do you even have
over.
A football team?
Yeah.
So it became a big deal. They did come up with a resolution, because in the end, we always like to try to, you know, figure stuff out. So they did move it to Saturday, November 25th.
And
so,
for many years, it was that Saturday after Thanksgiving that Kansas and Missouri played up until.
Yep.
I want to say to the Big 12 kind of got involved, and that's when the dates kind of shifted. And I remember that being in college back in 1996, I believe was that first year, where people were up in arms that this game was moving away from the Saturday after Thanksgiving and was being played at different times because the Big 12 needed to change scheduling up because of the new conference that came into place. And that was a big deal for a lot of people, that Kansas and Missouri was no longer going to be that Saturday after Thanksgiving consistently.
And I wonder, like, and I kind of saw the times too of the game. I thought kind of interesting, because I would think, like, what time would you want a football team to play, especially if it's not televised, right? So a lot of these aren't televised. If you're going to show up to Exposition Stadium or wherever you're going to have the game, it was in St. Joe one year.
Which is odd.
Yeah, I don't know. How'd they pull
that card?
They got
a field or something. I don't know. Somebody had a backyard available.
Somebody gave somebody money. Is
yeah,
what happened.
Probably. I mean, would that shock you? I mean, even back then, people were spending money to get games.
Oh, absolutely not. Especially, you know, of course, the railroads helped too. So, I mean, who knows the reason? I'm sure it had something to do with money. But I just think it's interesting that, like, what time would you play a football game? Because
I would play it at 10 a.m. to be honest with you, because you could stick your turkey in the oven before you go, watch the game, come back, your turkey's ready, you sit down for dinner. That would be the perfect time for Thanksgiving football.
Or they just left the ladies at home.
Well, they could have done that
too. That's probably what they did.
But they were getting good crowds at these games. It wasn't like nobody was showing up. We're talking thousands of people were showing up to these games.
Thousands of people showed up to an Exposition Park, and I mean, to you know, a 3,000 person crowd. That's a crowd. That's a sellout.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, they, some of these cheers that kind of come up and their original cheers that, you know, and the Rock Chalk Jayhawk, I mean, that even was as early as 1891, which I don't really know the history of that, because I try not to research much about KU.
Well, we can get into the history of the Rock Chalk chant if you want. There was rock chalk in Kansas at the time, the dirt and the earth and everything, and they found it, and it was originally Rah Rah Jayhawk.
Yeah,
But they changed it to Rock Chalk because of the rock chalk, and all the colors of the buildings on campus were made out of some of that stuff too, and so they were able to move it to Rock Chalk Jayhawk, which has become one of the greatest college cheers of all time, according to Teddy Roosevelt.
Wow, I did not know that. See, and like Mizzou's was pretty lame, I'm not gonna lie. It was like rah rah something.
Sis boom ba.
I probably that bad. I can't remember exactly. I just remember not being thoroughly impressed. You know, like, I mean, the Mizzou thing even wasn't a real thing even at that point. But you know, they called it the Jayhawk and the Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was the Tigers in the name of the schools. You know, they really called them by the mascots even back then.
Well, and I think it's interesting how sports has kind of played a role in Thanksgiving and kind of setting the table, because after the 1939 debacle, it basically got handled from here on out, and Thanksgiving finally got put in the books to where we know it today as the fourth Thanksgiving, or the fourth Thursday in November.
It's kind of shocking to me it took as long as it did, because it was Congress finally had to pass a law, and it was December 26th, which is kind of random right there. First of all, like they're thinking about Thanksgiving the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they were in session.
First thought, too. Like, why is Congress working on December 26th?
Congress works?
Well, that's the other thing. They're actually doing something?
This is shocking. Yeah, so 1941. That is shocking to me. Like, it took that long. And I'm sure most of the time, minus these, you know, events that we just brought up and how they affected the sports schedules and things like that, it's amazing to me it took them that long to go, you know, maybe we should make this a national holiday.
Sure.
Like, that's I mean, people are living that had this as a not a national holiday before that. I think it's just fascinating it took that long. I mean,
why do you think it took so long for this to become a national holiday? Like, I don't know what you say, what the holdup was or anything like that, but what was the decision to finally make this a national holiday? Because it was such a cluster, they just decided this is what we're going to do?
39 really screwed stuff, or excuse me, you know, like, I mean, 39 really screwed stuff up, and I think in 40 it fell late too, because mm-hmm. again, it falls late. And so then at that point, they're like, we got to put this in the books. And by that time, economy had, you know, rebounded as well. So, I mean, I just think it was time that they just had to say it was the fourth Thursday in November. And so, you know, here we are today, you know, everybody knows when Thanksgiving is, you know, you always have to look at the calendar, but you know, it's the fourth Thursday in November, which sometimes falls earlier, of course, than other
right.
years. We're in a late year this year.
We are in a late year this year. And I think what's interesting is as we really start to drum up the Kansas-Missouri rivalry again, because Kansas was gracious enough to offer their services to play the University of Missouri again, you've got a question that's going to be raised and was raised years ago when they decided to move the Kansas-Missouri game to Arrowhead Stadium, and people were freaking out. Oh my God, we're going to move it off campus. We need this game on campus. Well, this game truly started here in Kansas City. And I think looking back on the history of that football game and realizing that it took place in Kansas City on Thanksgiving, I think every year moving forward, once they start this rivalry up again, it should never be back on a campus site. It should always be at Arrowhead Stadium or whatever the next stadium is that takes place of Arrowhead in however many years. We should always have, if that game is played, it should always be played here. Not just because it's good for this city, but because it clearly pays homage to the past and where this game really started and it's on the border, but also a way that you got this game kind of to maybe get Thanksgiving as a national holiday as well. As much as we're kind of blinded by what happens locally, this is a game right. that's been played for, you know, hundred years now, basically over 100 years. And if we can kind of signify that and play that on Thanksgiving or the Saturday after Thanksgiving in Kansas City, I think it pays a nice tribute to the past that maybe a lot of people don't know about and can learn about because of that football game.
I agree. And I want to see them do something with this Osage, you know, this drum.
Well, I do too. I thought that was a really compelling story about every year the Osage yeah. Indians would build a new trophy for this rivalry.
Flip it back and forth. And
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, of course everybody gets all weirded out because you talk about Native Americans and then, you know, I'm like, well, they, you know, Osage were here first. So it kind of makes sense.
Sure.
Talk about being the neutral party.
Right.
You know, like, they're the ones that claimed both Kansas and Missouri before. So it made sense to me that they did that. And I just wish I miss the old days. I do. I miss the old days of the rivalry and, you know, the smack talking. And it's just not as fun as it used to be. And I even noticed that in my Kansas City history class, because when we talk about border wars, and I mean the legit mm-hmm. border wars, bring up KU in Mizzou. And it's like, even these high school students now don't even really know
right.
what that is anymore.
You're going to go through two graduating cycles at
yes.
both universities without them playing each other. You
right.
know, and I can't believe that time went like that fast. But there are a lot of kids now that are growing up that have no idea that Kansas and Missouri was even a big rivalry less than a decade ago.
No, and that's crazy to me. And we were talking about the border wars and John Brown and, you know, of mm-hmm. John Brown and, you know, hero or villain, you know, how does this guy fall? And of course it depends on where you live and also just in sentiments. I mean, he was a terrorist if you look at the definition of a terrorist.
Sure.
But in any case, I show them there was a uniform and I can't remember the year. So, you know, don't quote me on this one in the year, but there was a uniform that they actually did a commemoration to the border wars that KU had. It was a football uniform that was like, pretty, I mean, it had the symbols of like the red legs on it and all of this. I'm like, I don't know about all this. Like, I mean, because they didn't do the best things in history. So to sit there and I showed it to my students, like to show them this, you know, like this rebel uniform. And I, you know, ironically speaking, which was kind of nice, you know, is that a lot of African-American players are wearing it too, mm-hmm. which kind of does send a pretty cool message. But at the same time, you know, bushwhackers were bad. And they did bad things and so did the, you know, so did the Jayhawkers. So to show them that uniform and ask them, like, what's your opinion? Do you think this is appropriate or not? You know, and they're like, well, it just looks cool, but you know, I'm not sure if it's appropriate or not. I would like to see. I mean, can you imagine if Mizzou did that though?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how they dress up as a bushwhacker.
Sure.
Like everybody puts on like wigs and all of a sudden just has like plaid shirt, like their jerseys are plaid shirts and, you know, they're carrying Colt 45s. I mean, I'm pretty sure this is probably not the way to go. But that would send the wrong message, because those border wars, and I've read people who talk about, like, softball teams that get together and play against, you know, border wars where they come from the Kansas side, the Missouri side, and you got the people, you know, big time, you know, Jayhawks fan. And then I've heard people dress up as bushwhackers and play like softball, you know, with a keg of beer. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Right. Yeah.
Just not sure how I feel about that. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of, it's interesting to see this, you know, this rivalry, and I miss it. And I love that it's connected to Turkey Day, which is so random to me, and how, you know, just one schedule and not having, like you said, to schedule things ahead of time. It takes planning, and it even takes, I mean, back then it would have taken a hell of a lot of planning, because, you know, you have to railroads and transportation. It's not like it is today. It's not as easy as it is today. And I just miss it. And I think it's, I want to see it come back for sure. And I'd love to see it come back, like you said, like the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Amazing.
Like they did the last couple of years that they had it at Arrowhead. It was the last Saturday after Thanksgiving. And I think that needs to be the way it needs to be going forward. And I know there's new people at each university that may not know the history of what goes on and what has gone on with this rivalry. So when they think about scheduling the game, I'll put a bug in people's ears and say it has to be the Saturday after Thanksgiving to really hit home and to really pull on the heartstrings of everybody who still truly appreciates this rivalry. And you know it's the greatest rivalry in America because nobody can agree on what the record is right now.
Oh my gosh. So what is this all about? I am really good at researching. I'm telling you something. I can look at 100 different things, and I can surmise. It's like I can't even, you know, I found two scores even for the first game. I mean, I could tell you KU won for sure one, but did they win by, was their score 8 or 10? I mean, it depends on where you look, because even the papers don't get it right. And I'm talking back in the day, not the papers today or any type of history, anything today. Yeah, I am shocked. I mean, Who's ahead?
Well, it depends on where you look.
1960, right? There was some game in 1960 that was an issue and stuff like this. But it is, it depends on where you look. I looked on a KU history website from the University of Kansas, said one thing. Then where did I look next?
You went to the Mizzou website.
Of course I did.
And it was
a little different.
Yeah. There's one or two games in there that throw this whole thing off, that if you look at the Kansas side of things, Kansas has a lead in the records by like one game.
One game.
And if you look on the Missouri side, they have a lead
by one game.
And there is, to this day, nobody knows what the true record is between these two schools. And that's why it's so good to get this rivalry back and started up again, because we can renew those talks of who truly has the lead in this thing.
I just think that's crazy, because you think like a stat. I mean, I remember even my great grandma used to keep stats, like she'd go to the Royals games, you know, and actually, you know, like she plotted that whole thing out. And people I know have been doing this forever. How have they not figured this out? Like, and I mean, it does lead to the narrative. So like if we brought it back, which score do we go to? Or if, do we just call it a draw?
No, you just
started a draw?
You just keep going from where you are. And Kansas has their records and Missouri has their records. But that's the way it's been for the last, you know, however many years.
So it'll take two wins on one side to essentially break the tie from either side that you look at.
I guess it just depends on what side of the state line you're standing on, right?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking that if we bring this back, I'd like someone. I really think someone needs to look into this more.
Believe me, for years people have been looking into this thing,
and nobody can figure it out.
Which is why it's a great rivalry, because everybody will be dead and buried, and nobody will ever know the truth.
Oh, I love that idea. Well, I mean, and I think it is important for us to you know, I say not even heal, but like, you know, we've always had this rivalry, and we've made it into something fun, which I think is something that we need to remember in history, is that, you know, you can't rewrite history. I always say that you can't rewrite history. You need to be a part of history. You need to remember history, and to take something that was such a negative after the war, and 26 years later. So these people, you know, if you were 25 in the war, you're a 50-year-old dude probably watching your son play and maybe for KU. To see that healing and to see those people come together just shows that, like, we need to remember that. Like, no matter what side of the state line you live on, it's like, if they were able to do it and they were the ones shooting guns at each other, we should be able to, you know, come up with some resolutions too in our life, and give, you know, to really make sure that we have a day of thanks and that Mizzou and KU can continue that rivalry.
Much easier said than done.
True.
It's pretty remarkable that after all those years of history, the Kansas-Missouri football rivalry and basketball rivalry stopped. We know the basketball rivalry is coming back next year, and the football rivalry should be back on the horizon, and hopefully they do play it in the right spot, right here in Kansas City, where it was born, on whatever Thanksgiving Day that was.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.